This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay, wonderful, Sheikh. You're live now, inshallah. You can begin.
Okay, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brothers and sisters, those who are viewing, in the beginning, I wanted to mention that it's important for us to get full attention and full cooperation from everybody. So that if you're on YouTube, if you could subscribe to the YouTube channel, and if you're on Facebook or on Instagram, you know, you can like it, you can share it, share the khair, you know, share the goodness so that we can spread the message. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa usalli wa usallam ala Sayyid al-Awwalin wal-Akhirin, Nabiyyana Muhammadin, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa barak wa sallam. All praise are due to Allah, Lord of the worlds, and peace and blessings be upon the last messenger, Muhammad, the master of the first and the last, and on his family, his companions, and all those who call to his way and establish his sunnah to the day of judgment. As to what follows, my beloved brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah Azza wa Jal for another opportunity to reflect upon his mercy in revealing the last message of the Quran and sending the final and greatest of the messengers, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to humanity. And in the world that we are living in today, with the great crises that we are facing, this is becoming more and more a clear blessing for believers who are hanging on to the rope. And it's important today that we become as practical as we possibly can. Because in the times we are living in, there is war, there is death, there is now a pandemic. People are worried about how long they will live or if they will live. People are worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. And so in dealing with the pandemic, the doctors will prescribe specific treatments. The doctors will teach people not just how to cure yourself with a vaccine, if it really comes to fruition, but the intelligent doctors will teach how to protect yourself. It's being proactive. And they will tell you to wear a mask, to clean your hands, to do social distancing. Other doctors, the more naturalistic doctors, will tell you, strengthen your immune system. Get a lot of vitamin C, vitamin D. If you're Muslim, they will say, if they have good evidence, take the black seed. Because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us, alaykum bihabbati sawda, fa innaha dawa'in min kulli da illa al-maut. Take the black seed. It will protect you from every disease except death. And we know now that the black seed, this builds the immune system. So it's the immunity. And so the enlightened doctors will tell you, change your lifestyle, build your immune system, take your precautions. So these suggestions are practical, and that's what people want to know today. But there's not only a physical pandemic, there is a mental pandemic, and there is a spiritual pandemic. And the mental pandemic is one that we can see in a sense that our aql or our brain is connected directly to some of the things that we are doing. The spiritual one is not that clear. But this is where we need to be able to approach the writings of the great ulama, the lessons from the Quran and from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in a practical way to try to get tips as to how to protect ourselves and to protect our Islam. In that statement, which is the title of our session, our group of classes that we are having is the practical guide in preserving our Islam in a time of crisis. What is our Islam? There's three levels. We need practical suggestions on how to preserve our Tawheed, the oneness of God and the Risala. We need practical suggestions on how to protect our prayers and our fasting and our zakat. Practical suggestions in the possibility of Hajj and Umrah. And these things are changing. So we need to know what to do in order to continue to be consistent in these practices. We also need practical suggestions in terms of our iman. That is our belief in Allah and His angels and His books and His messengers and the last day and the will of Allah, the good and the bad thereof. Practical suggestions. This is how our Islam is layered. And the third layer is ihsan. So we need practical suggestions in the area of ihsan. And that is a more of a spiritual area. That is, as the Prophet ﷺ said, to worship Allah as though you see him or he sees you. So it's more like your, your conscience, your inner being, that higher status. And so we're looking at practical suggestions, and we want to go from the mundane, worldly parts of practicality to the spiritual part as well. And in last class, we looked at depression. And we know of all of the challenges that are facing the younger generation and our community. One of the most dangerous is depression, especially now in the northern countries, when we are ending in January and going into February. And they'll tell you about February that there's the least amount of sun in any month of the year. And many places there's a lot of rain, or if it's cold, there's a lot of snow. And so it is depressing to wake up and not to see the sun. This depression can go from being a normal mental depression into a clinical depression, where it actually starts to physically harm us. And so of the many cures, we looked at not only theoretical cures, but action cures. And I want to just look at these last points again, especially for those who were not in the class last week. The action cure for depression. One, reach out and stay connected. We're locked in our homes. We're not able to move around. So we need to reach out to people, stay connected online. Allah blessed us, one blessing out of the internet, although there's a lot of fitna and tribulation and trials. But one of the blessings is to be connected with other people. Two, and that is to do things that make you feel good. And it's not being selfish, but you may have a habit, you may have a hobby, which was a good one. And if that makes you feel good, if by making things and if by reading certain passages, whatever it is that makes you feel good, talking to somebody, then do that, because it's important for us to struggle with positivity, to fight the negativity. Three, get moving. Even though it's cold outside, for those of us who live in Canada or the United States and Europe, it's cold. If you're living in South Africa or in Brazil, it's actually warm. But in the north, many people go into hibernation. We know that many of the animals who cannot fly south, they go into hibernation, they burrow into the ground, or they burrow into a tree, and Allah has blessed them with this ability to go to sleep, and their blood slows down, their temperature changes, they're in a sleep-like state until the cold goes away. And many of us want to do the same thing. We want to bury ourselves in our bedroom, bury ourselves in our laptop, and forget about the world. That's not the solution. We have to move. Even if you're inside the house, find ways to move, but go outside sometimes. Breathe some fresh air. Move around. Get into action, as much action as you possibly can. Number four, eat a healthy depression-fighting diet. As you see on the screen, the citrus fruits, the vegetables. Stay away. You know, Muslims don't drink alcohol, but stay away from sugary things. Lower the carbs, the starches down. And get things that are light on your body, which will lighten up your mind. Number five was to get a daily dose of sun. That's difficult here. So get some vitamin D and take that vitamin D regularly. And six was challenge negative thinking. Now, this is interesting because these are doctors who laid down these points, psychiatrists, and challenge negative thinking. And this is something where we're now going into the mental and the spiritual part, challenging negative thinking, because we want change. We want something to happen. Allah told us, "Inna Allah la yughayyiru ma biqawmin hatta yughayyiru ma bi anfusihim." Allah will not change the condition of a people till they change that which is in themselves. So whatever negative things are going on inside of us, we have to struggle against it. We can't submit to the negativity. And that means that if you get negativity all the time, when you turn on the television, turn on the news, slow down. Use it for other means than just sitting there and just watching it. Because we need to change ourselves desperately. Because we're in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this crisis that we're going through. And so in this light, I want to present to you some very important teachings from an amazing scholar who lived in Fez in the 15th century. And this is Sidi Ahmed Zarrouk. And Sidi is the Moroccan way of saying Sayyidi, which is like the master, Ahmed Zarrouk. And his name was Abu Fadl Shihab al-Din, Abu al-Abbas, Ahmed ibn Ahmed, ibn Muhammad ibn Isa, al-Fasi al-Burnusi, known as Zarrouk. So that's a long name. And he became really famous. And it's interesting because when he talks about his biography, his life, he said, "I was born on Thursday at sunrise on the 28th of Muharram." And that was 846 years after the Hijrah, which is 1426 AD or CE, 15th century. Now look at his life. His mother died, my mother died, he said, on the following Saturday. And my father died on the following Tuesday. So he was a complete orphan. My grandmother, al-Banin al-Faqiha, a female scholar, she took care of me to my 10th year. So the first 10 years of this scholar, considered to be one of the greatest Maliki scholars in history, it began with his grandmother. Think about that now. That's how important your female parents are. His grandmother had fiqh. She helped him to memorize his Quran, to get his Arabic language together, to get the basis of Islamic studies. And then at 10, she gave him to the ulama. And the scholars loved this boy right from the beginning. And he increased in knowledge at an amazing rate. To the time when he was a young person coming up, around 20 years old or so, he was already a sheikh. And he traveled and he taught. And Sidi Ahmed was given a title that no other scholar before him or after him was ever given. And this is Muhtasib al-Ulama wal-Awliya. He was the evaluator or the quality controller of the scholars and the Sufis. Okay, why was that? And how he describes himself, he would compel the scholars to be more spiritual and to improve their sincerity to Allah. So many times you find scholars, they talk about aqidah, they talk about the fiqh, but their spirituality is lacking. They're like dry. They don't seem sincere when they're teaching you. And so he would compel them and he would show them the way. He was their quality control manager because he was the highest level of fiqh in the Maliki fiqh. And that's rare when you find a faqih like this is also considered to be on the highest level of tasawwuf. But what he did with the Sufis is that he would bring them back into the limits of Sharia. If somebody who claimed to be teaching Ihsan, they claim to be dealing with spirituality. So you have a problem not with how to make the prayer, but you can't concentrate in prayers. You have a problem with your relationship with your husband or your wife. You have a problem with dealing with people, dealing with society. These are things that are not necessarily tangible things, and you need the ihsan level. And so there are people historically who specialized in this, and they had many different names. The most famous is the Sufis of Tasawwuf. He would bring them back into Sharia. He was their quality control manager. So if they started making dhikrullah and floating off into heaven, he would bring them down. He would make sure that they would stay within the sunnah. So this is an amazing person. And that's the kind of teaching that we need today. Not one side or another side, but all of our scholars and enlightened people. And so near the end of his life, he had a large following. He had gone to Mecca and Medina, and everywhere he went, you know, people would flock to him for his teachings. He spent a lot of time in Cairo. And at that time, Cairo was the center, if not the highest level for Islamic scholarship in the Muslim world. Baghdad had been destroyed. There was still confusion in the Muslim world. So Cairo was the center. And in Cairo itself, Sidi Ahmed Zarruq was on a pinnacle in terms of scholarship. But he ended up going back to North Africa, to Misrata, which is presently in Libya, although he was born in Fez. And he continued to teach. And at one point near the end of his life, he felt that his followers, that the Muslim students and the people were in danger. They were in danger of their Islam. And so he wanted to give them some foundations, strong foundations, which would help them spiritually, something that would solidify their belief, that they could hold onto tightly. When the fitna comes, trials and tribulations come into the world. And look at the situation that we are in today with the trials and the tribulations that are facing us. And so he laid down five foundations of the spiritual path. And I want to look at these five foundations along with other practical issues as we go along within our teachings. And because we need to preserve our deen. And our Islam is definitely in danger now. Our faith, our practices are in danger. Look at what is happening with our masjids, our prayers. Ramadan is going to be at home most of the time. The Hajj and Umrah are slowed down almost to a halt. And so we are in need now. Look at our iman, our beliefs, our shaking, our ihsan. Five foundations of the spiritual path. And the first of that was taqwallah fi sidri wal alaniya. It was mindfulness, the consciousness of Allah, privately and publicly. The second was adherence to the sunnah, itba'a sunnah, in word and deed. The third was indifference to the acceptance or rejection of others. So you're not doing your Islam for people. Whether they accept you or reject you, you continue on. Four, satisfaction with Allah in hardship and in ease. And number five, turning to Allah in prosperity and adversity. So we want to look at these five foundations and to discuss them and also bring some practical issues at the same time. This is how we're going to go through the course. So we're getting practical things and at the same time, building a strong foundation for the spiritual side, which is our base. And you see the doctors, we even said, get rid of negative thinking, right? They're going inside now. That's not your diet. That's not your exercise, right? That's thinking. You're thinking, your very being, the negativity inside of you. And so this is where these teachings are so critical at this point in time. And the first one, taqwa Allah, fi sirri wal alaniya. Taqwa is a quality that we discuss constantly. In the khutbas of Jummah, we're hearing about taqwa in many different teachings and courses that we take. We hear about taqwa Allah Azza wa Jal. And we know that some people translate it as fear, but it's not just fear. Some people saying guarding your faith is not just that. The ulama say it's al-khawf al-raja, that it is fear and hope. It's a combination of the two. So there's a lot of meanings for it. And one beautiful concept of taqwa is like a type of hypervigilance, that we're really cautious and alert and vigilant. So this is like a consciousness that comes around us. And it's this vigilance. And you will see that people who are playing sports, for instance, when they're playing on the sports field, their eyesight develops. They can look to the right, they can look to the left. The ball is moving around. If you're playing football or soccer, the ball is moving around. You got to be vigilant of where the ball is. If you're playing American football, then you need to be vigilant, because if you have the ball, one of these giants can come flying out of the air and knock you down. So a type of vigilance is developed. So this is a spiritual vigilance, that we are aware of what is going on around us. And taqwa, again, is a powerful foundation. It is probably the most important pillar or foundation of these five in the spiritual path, and that is the consciousness of Allah. And there's so much to talk about taqwa. It is something that can really give us that foundation that we need to withstand the tornado, literally spiritual tornado coming. Look at the world today. They're trying to take people out of the masjids and keep us home, literally. And we have to be vigilant that once the pandemic relieves, that we go back to the masjid. Because some people may have lost their feeling for the house of Allah, their feeling for fasting, making their Taraweeh prayers, or their feeling to make Hajj and Umrah. So we have to be vigilant for this. And this is where the taqwa gives us a strong foundation. And taqwa has got many benefits. I want to share with you from the many benefits of taqwa. There's five benefits that we can gain right away from taqwa. And this is our foundations now. And these things will help us now because we're in trouble, right? People are dying. Every day you go online and somebody else has died. My friends in Cape Town, South Africa, as you know, has got a variant of the COVID-19. And it's spreading rapidly. And I have family, you know, in Cape Town. My son's married to a Cape Townian, Cape Malay. And so we're in touch with Cape Town, the ulama that I've spent time with. And recently I spoke with people from South Africa and Cape Town, and they said, you know, it is spreading so rapidly amongst the scholars, almost one out of every two of the scholars is COVID-19 positive, and some are dying. So we're in trouble now, and taqwa can really help us. Number one, of the five benefits, there's so many, but if you adopt this taqwa, you increase it, and you try to increase your taqwa, you can gain an ease in affairs. Your affairs will literally lighten up once you have that connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have that understanding of the greater picture of things. And in Surah At-Talaq, verse 4, Allah tells us, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا. And whoever has the consciousness of Allah, then Allah will make their matters easy for them. Yusra will come. Number two, it will also lead to a way out of things. And in the same verses in Surah At-Talaq, Allah tells us, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا, that whoever has the consciousness of Allah, is hyper-vigilant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the interaction, then Allah will make a makhraj, a way out of things that are going wrong. And we definitely need some ways out, as this pandemic is still spreading, especially in the United States, just south of the Canadian border, how it is spreading and not slowing down. But the consciousness of Allah, this is the internal part that we need, along with dealing with the external. Number three, and that is for those who are afraid, they're losing their employment, what's going to happen in the future. Once you have that consciousness of Allah, you are increasing it, then Allah will bring to you sustenance from where you know not. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Allah will provide for him from where he knows not. That's in Surah At-Talaq 2. And the fourth point, and that is the ability to distinguish truth from falsehood. And that's so important today, because the false news that's going on, the confusion, every time you turn on the media, you're not sure what people are actually saying. Or they're saying one thing, you think everything's going to be cured, and suddenly you see people getting sick again. What is the truth? What is the falsehood? Allah tells us in Surah Al-Anfal, verse 29, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, in tattaqullaha yaj'al lakum furqanan. O you who believe, if you have the consciousness of Allah, he will make a criterion for you. And a furqan is that which separates truth from falsehood. And Imam al-Shawkani, rahimahullah, even said, this furqan is thabat al-qulub. This furqan is a way of the consolidation of the hearts. Wa quwwat al-basair. He said, this also will strengthen your sight. In other words, insight. So we can have insight as to what is really happening around us in this world today. And it will make us, our feet strong in the earth. And so the ability to separate truth from falsehood or furqan, that's an amazing quality that we need to. It's one of the blessings that comes out of the taqwa. And finally, وَيُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ فَضْلُ الْعَظِيمُ. The rest of the verse says that Allah will release you of your sins and forgive you. And Allah is the Lord of great bounty. And so forgiveness and release from sins. Look at this foundation. You have a strong foundation like this. That's what we need today. And that's what we need to really culture in our lives, in this very critical situation that we are in today in this world. And so taqwa Allah, fi sirri wa alaniya, the first of the foundations is to have the consciousness of Allah in public and in private. So you see, you having the consciousness of Allah, you know, people go publicly, especially if you go to the masjid or you're around other individuals who you respect, and it's easy to show your Islam. People find themselves pious when they're in crowds. They make a long salat. They can do all types of things. I remember there was a story of this person, and he was in the masjid. And this happened to me, you know, this story came, you know, out of Cape Town. And there's a big masjid, and people are coming in, you know, at Jumu'ah. And so just after the Jumu'ah, people are on the sides. Some are making extra prayers after Jumu'ah. Others are meeting with each other. And a group, a delegation came in. And they looked, and there was one of the brothers here just about starting his prayers. And he looked and he saw these people coming and they were looking at him. So now he made his salat and he made it beautiful. He was crying. He went down in ruku'ah. He was in sujood long. He came back up. And the people are in the background, subhanAllah. Look at this pious Muslim. And then the brother comes up and he gives his salams. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And I'm fasting too. So he said to the people, I'm also fasting. You see what happened to him? He turned from somebody who was praying to Allah to a person who was praying to the people. That is what is called riya. You see? So we have to realize how serious our affairs are and how we can actually change up in a moment. Now, I want to talk about something deeper in taqwa, because I know many of you have heard about things in taqwa before. But I want to look at from the writings of Ibn Juzay al-Maliki. And he took it a step further now. So this is not your normal talk about taqwa, fear and hope. No, this is not the normal talk. This is taken a little bit deeper. Because we said, remember, taqwa is caution. It's being alert, hyper-vigilant, right? So that's taqwa. So when a person has taqwa, as described by the companions, it's like there's thorns on the ground. You know, it's so you don't want your clothes to be caught in the thorns. You want, so you lift up your clothes and you walk very gently and you look down because you're very aware of these dangers. And so in this case, hyper-vigilance. Spiritually, what is going on? How does this manifest itself? The first degree of taqwa is a caution of falling into disbelief. So the person is now hypervigilant as to falling in disbelief. So they'll look up, what are those things that is kufa? What is the things that shirk? And they will say, I'm going to stay out of this. I'm not going to fall into this. They're hypervigilant of this. And, you know, they want to stay on the path. And this is described by Ibn Juzay, rahimahullah, as this is a type of submission. This is taslim. So this is where the person submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the basic form of taqwa. It's a degree now. Because remember, you have those who, in karate, you have yellow belt, orange belt, blue belt, brown belt, and then black belt. And the black belt is supposed to be the highest level. It's not. There's black belt, first dan, they would say in Japanese, meaning your first level of black belt. Second dan, third dan, fourth dan, fifth, until they give you master. So it's not just the black belt. There are higher levels. So taqwa also has got higher levels. And this first one is a hypervigilance of falling into disbelief. Two, it's caution of falling into sin and evil. So the person may have committed a lot of sins. And so the person is hypervigilant not to fall in these sins. Many times you see a Muslim born in a Muslim family, but they're not actually practicing Islam. And then they suddenly get their deen. And so at 25, now he's praying, now he's fasting, now she's covering up. And so you'll find in many cases, they'll go to a higher degree because they want to stay out of their sin. And they're hyper-vigilant. They're muttaqi for this. And that maqam or that station is the station of tawbah. It's repentance. So within the taqwa is a station of repentance. So the person of taqwa is now hyper-vigilant of evil things around them. And that's, again, that's usually somebody who knows what evil is. The person may be a new Muslim who lived part of their life, you know, surrounded by evil, or a revitalized Muslim, or just a Muslim who lives in this world, in the dunya, and knows what evil is. That's the second stage. Stage number three. That is the caution, being hyper-vigilant of doubtful things. So there are things which are not clear. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, you know, that which is halal is clear and that which is haram is clear. And in it, there are doubtful things. Okay, these mutashabihat, these doubtful things. The Prophet ﷺ said in one hadith, da ma yuribuk ila ma la yuribuk. Stay away from that which gives you doubt to the things which gives you no doubt. And so that is this this vigilance or this caution in staying away from doubtful things. That's another stage. And Ibn Juzay called it the state of carefulness. So this person is really careful. And before they eat something, if they see doubt inside of things, they hold. Right? They're aware of what's going on around them. These are protections for us. We want to know how to preserve our Islam. These are the protections. In the same way that a fighter learns how to preserve his life, right? That a person who is hiking on a trail, survival training, they learn how to survive in the jungle or learn how to survive in the snow in the Canadian winter. And so these are the degrees of taqwa. The fourth degree of taqwa is being cautious of the permissible. This is deep. This is what is called wara. And wara is a higher degree of taqwa in that the person will give up what is permissible to not fall into what is haram, what is prohibited. For instance, Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu, he was considered to have a lot of wara. And on one occasion, he ate this food and somebody said that they're not sure about this food. So he actually made himself vomit the food up. Okay, now that's a serious person there. He didn't have to do that because it was permissible. It already went down his throat. He made a mistake. But wara is a higher level now. So there's certain things that are permissible and you stay away. I want to give the example of that brother who prayed in the masjid after Jummah and ended up showing off to the people. You know what wada would be? He's about to make the salat and a group of people come in and they're watching him. And he knows that his nafs is going to be pulled towards riyah, towards showing off. And so he says, I'm not going to pray. So he just walks away. He didn't have to make it. It's sunnah anyway, right? You can make it in the masjid or you can make it at home. The wara in this case gave him that understanding not to make that prayer. Why? It's permissible, but he might be falling into sin. That's another degree. And the highest degree, which very few of us will probably reach, and that is being cautious of letting anything into the heart save Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing else in your heart except for Allah. That is the maqam, that's the position of witness. That is a witness. And that's a very high level that would be very difficult for us to reach. Allah will choose people to reach that level, but that's a really serious level. And people usually go through a lot of suffering and torment and, you know, they go through a lot of changes to reach this level where nothing but Allah is in their hearts. And so these are the degrees of taqwa. Taqwa Allah fi sirri wal alaniya. one of the foundations given by Sidi Ahmed Zarruq, Rahimahullah, foundations, five foundations of the spiritual path. This is what he said to his followers. He was afraid that they were going to lose their faith. And he prescribed foundations for them to hold up the building of their Islam. And we are in trouble now. And so we need to look at this spiritual advice and be practical about it, apply it to our situation today so that we can be saved from the massive fitna that is out there in the world. And so I want to end at this point and open up the floor if there are any questions that anybody has, if there's anything you'd like to put into the chat room. I want to open up the floor for any questions that anybody has. The floor is open. Again, I want to remind you to, if you're on YouTube, that you should subscribe to it. If you're on Facebook, you should share it. You should like it. And feel free to ask questions concerning this. There's no problem. There's interaction here. You can put something in the chat room if you have any questions. Floor is open. So inshallah, we will be continuing on next week, inshallah, to go to other foundations of the spiritual path. We need a practical guide. And the great ulama have given us guides to help us in this spiritual darkness that we are living in today. And so we pray that Allah Azza wa Jal would enable us to maintain our faith in this deep struggle that we are involved in.
Sorry, there's a couple of questions, if you don't mind.
Help our children. Yes, there's a question?
There's a couple of questions, yes. So there is a question from one of the attendees in the classroom that says, please explain the witness part.
Yeah, the witness now, you know, it's it comes in the Quran, فَاكْتُبْنَا مَا الشَّاهِدِينَ. You know, help us to be of the witnesses. A shaheed, in a sense, is a witness. And but a witness is a high level. And usually it takes a person who is a shaheed to get to this witness point. But it is a very high level of relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because there's really nothing else left in their heart except Allah Azza wa Jal. And so literally they have reached another stage. What it is, Allahu Alam, I'm not privy to all the information, but I know this is a very high level. Yeah.
There is a question here about the story about the brother who's praying and ended up to show the brothers, the people behind him. I think there just needs a clarification on what was wrong with what he did and what's wrong. I think maybe the story wasn't.
Oh, okay. Try to get the story now. The brother is about to pray, and then some people come and they're standing there. And so he starts to pray. And as he's praying, you know, he's feeling them in back of him, right? So, you can sort of feel people there. And so something inside of him says, you know, make your prayer beautiful because the people are listening to you. This is what is called riya. Riya is showing off with religious deeds in order to be seen by people, right? So it's showing off with your ibadah. And so he's praying, and the people are saying, mashallah, look at him pray. And so he makes his prayer longer than he normally would. He does it in a beautiful way. And then when he's finished, he turns to them, he says, I'm fasting too. You get it? In other words, he's saying, I'm not only a beautiful, you know, prayer person, but I'm fasting too. So he wants them to say, mashallah, that's riyah. That means he's showing off now to the point where he's exposing other things in order to get their pleasure. And that is considered to be, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this is a shirk al-asra. This is the minor form of shirk, of polytheism. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, it will creep into my nation like a black ant creeps into a dark room. This is the minor shirk. And it, you know, and this and shirk is serious, right? Because remember, this is polytheism when you're worshiping more than one God. So in a sense, you're not bowing down to an idol. But now the prayer that that person was making was not just to Allah. He was praying for the people in back of him. You see? So when you pray into two sources, that's shirk. In the same way that somebody might pray to an idol along with God, or a saint along with God, there's many forms that shirk will take, but this is the minor form of shirk. Yeah. Any other general questions anybody has?
So there's a question here about the clarification of, doesn't Allah Azza wa Jal call himself Shahid and Shaheed? And what is the difference between those two?
Yeah, I mean, the words are used in different ways. When Allah uses the names of Allah, you know, like for instance, like Ash-Shahid, Ash-Shaheed, when it's the witness, like you can say Rahim, a person is Rahim, they are merciful. But if you say Ar-Rahim, the merciful, that's the most merciful. That's Allah, you see? So there are certain descriptions of Allah which are also used as adjectives. They just describe people as well. So Al-Muntaqim, you know, so there are some people who, you know, it's like revenge, the one who punishes. There are people who, you know, there's many of the descriptions. There are some descriptions which is only Allah. Like you say Ar-Rahman, that's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So there's Al-Quddus, the one who is the most holy. So we don't describe people as saying this Quddus, you know, on people. So in this case, Shahid, even when you go to court, they will say the Shahid. You know, when you have a nikah, then you have the Shahid, right? You have a witness. So witness is used in many different ways. This particular way is that the person is literally witnessing, you know, the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in themselves. You know, it's a very high level of spirituality. Now, any other general questions anybody has?
All the questions we have for today, Shah.
Alhamdulillah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept what we are doing. May Allah protect us. Subhanakallahu bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa akhira da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi. وبركاته